Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and glory, our Lord and our God. We thank you for another wonderful opportunity to hear you speak and to accept your blessings into our lives once again. You are a God of purpose, and you have your reason for speaking to us in the way you do, and speaking to us in regards to the things you do. My Father, my God, the word today will be blessings to every life here today in Jesus' name. Lord, your word today will enrich everyone that is here in Jesus' name. Your word today, O Lord, will take us deeper in the knowledge of you in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to bless God again for another opportunity to be able to stand before you and to share the word of God with us. You will have noticed that I've been sharing a series with you on divine assignment. And what has happened is that, in fact, the one I actually wanted to share today, somehow, is not the one I'm sharing. I believe God has directed me to share something different. Pending the time, we'll be able to bear the one that God wants me to share, that is originally intended for today. When we started about 3 weeks ago, when we started on this series, Divine Assignment, we first talked about the role of grace. And last week I spoke to us about divine provision. In the role of grace, we talked about being aware of our relationship with God and what grace can do. And we said divine assignment can only be accomplished through divine approach. We say grace regenerates the heart unto obedience. We say grace hardens faith and makes why the heart itself remains tender. Grace is a multiplier. It's the one that can make 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to feed 5,000. And you still go home with 12 baskets of excess. Grace is needed for bearing and for bearing. That was the first one. And last week, we said, for divine assignments, God provides according to what He will have you do for Him. And that whatever God has provided for you is often an indication of what God expects you to be doing for Him. There's no waste. We looked at the 3 houses of Levi. 2 houses got 2 different kind of things. And the 3rd house, because they didn't have need for it, were not given anything. So God gives you whatever He has given you because of what He wants you to do in the kingdom. The same thing with your position, your connection, the people you know, and where you are at this point. God has put you there to serve a purpose. We say, look, your area of specialty may aid you in your primary assignment, but does not necessarily make you a specialist in the things of God. So we need to seek His face. We also said God confounds the wise with the simple things of this world. We said the simplicity of the gospel is the reason why a lot of people miss their destiny. You will not miss your destiny in Jesus' name. We said your miracle is in your obedience, and that when you are obedient to God and the miracle of God is made manifest in your life, people will begin to notice you. That was how they started to notice the children of Israel when God parted Jordan for them, simply because they obeyed and crossed when River Jordan was overflowing its bank. We said in obedience, God can turn the simple things of your life to meet your needs. We talked about the fact that Moses, after serving with Jethro for 40 years, apart from marrying Jethro's daughter, the only thing that we know was his possession was the rod, the staff that he took with him. But that God turned that same staff into an instrument of miracle that could make a way for Moses. The Lord will make a way for you in Jesus' name. And we said that the word of God is your eternal provision to be converted to your need. So we said it's a promissory note, and that you need to cash it. You need faith to cash it. And I believe some people are already operating at that level because they've heard the word. The people in this church, they are obedient people. All you need to do is just speak the word of God to them, and they begin to live it. The words you hear will profit you in Jesus' name. Today we are looking at products of divine assignment. Products of divine assignment. I want you to open with me to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15. And we're going to read just one verse. And that is verse 16. I'll read. Jesus was speaking here. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Praise the Lord. In line with what we are discussing, I believe that a few things will be staring you in the face as soon as you read where we have just read. Let's look at some of the things that are likely to be staring you in the face. First of all, Jesus said, "I have chosen you. You have not chosen me." So Jesus said, "I am the one who has called you." Praise the Lord. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And he said, "And ordain you." Look at the second line there. "And ordain you to do what? That you should go." Praise the Lord. Read it very well. "And ordain you that you should go that you should go. The person who is going somewhere is somebody who has been sent on an errand, somebody who is on an assignment. He said, I've chosen you and I've what? Ordained you. In other words, I've commissioned you for a purpose. That is why every child of God is on a divine assignment. It's for you to recognize the assignment God has given you. And let's not focus on the things that are not important. Let's recognize why God is sending you. He said, I've ordained you that you should go. So you are on errand. And to do what? Bring forth what? Fruit. In other words, there will be products of divine assignment. And that what? And that your fruit should what? Remain. In other words, should not disappear. And then there's a condition. There's something that will happen in your life when that happens. So that whatever you ask of the Father in the name of Jesus, He may give it to you. In other words, if you are not on your divine assignment, doing what you are supposed to do, producing results, if you call on the Father, He may not give you what you want Him to give you. But if you are meeting those conditions, then if you call on the Father, He will do what? He will give you your request. The Lord will answer your prayer in Jesus' name. In light of what we have just read, let's quickly look at the products of divine assignment. Because, as we have seen, divine assignment give rise to outcomes. So God has certain outcomes He expects. And the life of every one of us should be geared towards that outcome. Look, I'm not talking, when I'm talking about outcome, I'm not just talking about service in the church. I'm talking about an outcome that will impact the world, that will affect people. I've told us, the reason we come to church is for us to be equipped to do the work that God wants us to do. The work is outside there. What did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, come, look, the field is what? It's white. The reason I'm able to preach to you is because you have already believed to different levels. You have believed, and that's why you have come to church. There are people there who don't even believe that there is God. Praise the Lord. And God is sending you to those people. There are people there who needs a touch of someone who has met with Jesus, and they are waiting for you. There are people there who need divine healing, and they will never come to church because the Bible says, how can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear if somebody has not preached the gospel to them? Somebody is waiting for you to hear so that they can get their miracle, so that they can get their healing. Somebody is destined to be positioned in a place of power. Somebody is destined to be positioned in a place of abundance. But they are not going to experience their breakthrough because you have not preached to them. Until you go out there and preach to them, and they recognize their position in the Lord, they may never accomplish what God intends for their lives. And of course, if you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing too, the implication is that you may never be what God wants you to be. You may be somewhere and you think that is the best. Until God opens your eyes. Praise the Lord. I once had somebody who was somewhere, and this person held on to what he had so much. He so much valued what he had. And God just used me to encourage the person to do things differently. This person did not really want to do things differently. But finally, God sort of ministered to them, and they chose to do things differently. One day this guy called me and said, he said, you know what? He said, the last 10 years of my life. Why? Because he saw something new, something different that God did in his life. But I'm telling you, this guy was holding on to what he had because that he thought that was the best at that time. I will tell you this morning, your best is yet to come. I say your best is yet to come. Whatever you are seeing now, you have not reached your best yet. The greater things will come for you in Jesus' name. So, but for your best to come, you have to be on the way to doing what you have been divinely called to do. And I want you to know, because we are talking about products, that divine assignments have goals. Everyone that God called, he called them for a purpose. When he called Moses, he told Moses, you are going to lead my people out of Egypt. And of course, when Moses misbehaved and God decided to terminate his service, he appointed Joshua and said, well, look, where Moses has stopped, you will carry through. God will not terminate your service in Jesus' name. And of course, when he called Jesus also, it was for a purpose, to come and save the world. Everyone that God has given divine assignment to is for a purpose. You will not miss your purpose in Jesus' name. You see, along the line, we really need to recognize why God has called us and hold on to it. Because if we are not careful, you see, a lot of people miss the purpose for which God has called them. And you know, it's very common these days, after we have achieved all that we want to achieve, those of us from Nigeria, you understand what I'm saying, after you have been well-read, you don't contract, you have some money, maybe it's not common in other places, people will go and buy chieftaincy title. They are the add-ons. You see, they want to conquer everywhere. So I'm already this. So the only thing I'm not is that I'm not the chief of my village. So I want to get a chief tansy title. They will get it. And then they will look and say, look, all these people who say they are educated, they call this one doctor this, doctor that. They will go to one university, befriend the VC, give them plenty of money, and they sell them doctorate degree as well. Is that not true? Then they add it to their kitty. You know, they are chief doctor, praise the Lord. And we have seen it. After a lot of people have achieved these days, they say they are chief, they are doctors, they are everything. They bought it. They will now go to a church, donate generously. They will be part of what is happening until they become deacon or pastor. They add it to their title as well. It's all add-on. Praise the Lord. The reason God has called them is not necessarily the add-ons. The reason God has called them is for a specific purpose. Everyone who takes on what God has not called him to be as an add-on will never fulfill his destiny in that area. You see, when I was applying to go to the college here, one of the things they asked me was this. You know, whether I got it by academics or whether it was honorary, right? Because if it is honorary, they will never allow you to go through and be what you want to be. It has to be by divine assignment. You will fulfill the counsel of God for your life in Jesus' name. So, having known that God called people for a purpose, the product of divine assignments, their goals achieved through purposeful, determined work with God. They are not things that happen by accident. In other words, just like the farmer would till his farm and take care of it, so also you are going to invest in what God has called you to do. I was at one of the training with the members of the choir, and I remember one of the trainers said to the members of the choir, or asked them, he was asking each and everyone how much they have invested in being a member of the choir. How many books have you bought? How many CDs have you bought? How many these have you done? Your product will show whether you are taking care of your assignment or not. You will invest into the assignment God has given you. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are divinely assigned, God has called you, because he said when he called you, he also did what? He ordained you. If he has ordained you to work for him, how much are you investing into what God has ordained you to do? It is those people who are on course to do what God has called them to do that this word from the Bible becomes true. When the Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to whose purpose? His own purpose, not according to their own purpose. As long as you have made up your mind that you are going to walk a purposeful life or live a purposeful life based on God's call upon your life, all things will begin to work together for your good in Jesus' name. Do we really have an option not to walk in his purpose? We don't. It's not optional. Remember this morning when I asked us to greet people, tell them we love them, I said we should tell them we love them by force. Because those who are called by his purpose have been called to also love. He said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. By this. So it is a commandment. It is not an affair of whether you are willing or not willing. If the Bible wanted to be based on willingness, he would have said it, that love those who are willing to love, and those you are willing to hate, hate them until you exterminate them. The Bible didn't say that. By this shall men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So it's compulsory. It's a compulsory course that you have to pass. After salvation, that is one of the compulsory courses we need to pass. Praise the Lord. You will pass it in Jesus' name. Anything that will be a stumbling block to your making heaven, the Lord will roll it away in Jesus' name. I say anything, whatever it may be, that will be a stumbling block to your making heaven, it will dissipate before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Secondly, so we say, we have said the products, divine assignment has, we can say that divine assignments produce results. So that's what we have just said. It has to produce results for you to know the outcome. And that's what Jesus was telling us in John chapter 15, verse 2. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So everyone on divine assignment who is not achieving results, what does he do? He takes them away.
And everyone who is achieving results, what does he do? He builds them up for greater service. The Lord will build you up for greater service in Jesus' name. So, a life on divine assignment will continue to produce fruits as God wants. Of course, you'll be discipling people. But for us to disciple people, the mark of godliness will have to continue to be upon our lives. God will put the mark of godliness upon your life in Jesus' name. Every obstacle to that, it does not matter. Sometimes it may be something as simple as even food that will not allow us to manifest the mark of godliness. It may be food. It may be the choice of dress we wear. It may be anything. God can take it away. He will take it away in Jesus' name. Your role is to do that which is in your control for the furtherance of the kingdom. Leave that which is not in your control for God to do by continuing to attend to those matters in prayers. That's your role. But everything that is within you needs to be expended for the furtherance of the kingdom, the purpose for which we are all created. Thirdly, when you are on divine assignment, you can continue to be fruitful irrespective of your personal circumstance. I'm not talking about sin here. Irrespective of your personal circumstance, irrespective of what may be happening to you. Do you know that a lot of times we are always looking for things to change? We will say, look, it is when these things change that I will begin to do this and this and this. Let me give us some example. Some of us are waiting for our wives, our husband to change before we show them affection. Why are you not showing me affection? It's because you don't do this. Maybe if you are doing this, then I will probably be doing this. That's not the way it works, or that's not the way God wants it to work. In fact, I've seen people say, look, I'm not going to church because in our church, you see, a lot of people, the way they come to church, they come as if they are coming to party. Everyone just dressed to kill. That's why I don't like going to church. So they will not go. And you know what? Nobody will drive you away if you choose not to dress like them. But don't deprive yourself of the blessings of God. And you know what? What you then find out is that when such people are blessed by God, they are blessed by God, really blessed, they'll probably dress better than those people. And you ask them, they still won't go to church. You ask them, why are they not going to church? They say, because the people in church are jealous of me. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that, look, there will always be a reason. There will always be things that are not yet right. Remember, I shared with us before, the Bible says, he who looks at the cloud will never sow. He who looks at the wind or the cloud will never sow. It's not likely to rain. It's going to rain. You know, you'll be in two minds. You will never actually sow. There will always be reasons. I've shared this with us before. Apology to the person if you are in the house, please. So they don't know you, but I'll just say it. just for clarity. You know, I was talking to somebody one time and he said, look, and I think I've shared this before. He said, if people understand me, they will enjoy me very well. If people can take time to understand me, they will enjoy me very well. And I said to them, look, if you are waiting until people understand you, nobody will ever enjoy you. If you don't make up your mind to do what God has called you to do, do good. Nobody. Do people understand Jesus? Did people understand Jesus then? How many people understood him? Very few. In fact, his disciples didn't even understand him. Because if you go and read Acts chapter 1, up to the time of his ascension, they were talking about him restoring the kingdom to Israel. He said, okay, you young boys, you don't know anything. You just go and wait in Jerusalem. And wait until the Spirit comes upon you. You know, you will receive power. And not until the Spirit of God came upon them were their eyes open, did they all have an understanding of the purpose of Jesus. Even though from time to time they have flickers of revelation, someone like Peter had flickers of revelation, but it wasn't permanent. It was after he received the revelation that he was ready to stake his life for the gospel, because he had a better understanding. God will open your understanding in Jesus' name. And today, do we understand him yet? We don't. Because if we fully understand Jesus, if we fully understand Jesus now, we won't even have many Christian denominations. We'll all be one. Am I right? We don't. Everyone will interpret what he said to suit himself as it's convenient for him or her. If we truly understand him, honestly, we'll all be one. So, will Jesus say, look, I'm not going to do the work of salvation because people have not fully understood me? Despite that, he did what he had to do. In the same vein, don't wait until all your problems are solved before you can be effective for God. I met a sister not long ago. It's not long they came to this place. They came with permanent residency. They are well positioned, actually. I mean, financially well positioned. And each time I spoke to her, she would be saying, oh yeah, if God says this is where we're going to stay, if God said this is where I'm going to stay. And I took time to listen to her for a, you know, pattern. You know, you just listen to pattern. And after some time, what was actually happening in her life came out. Apparently, it looks like the kids have been experiencing some difficulties, you know, and of course at home. It's probably all that they talk about. So you were telling me about how good America is. Oh, maybe even Canada. Maybe even, you know, England. Even going back to Nigeria. So after I understood her, I told her. So when God told the children of Israel to go, when God said he has given the land to the children of Israel and asked them to go and possess it, what happened? Was there contention? She said there was contention. I said, good. I said, did you hear God before coming to this place? She said they heard God before they decided to come to Australia. I said, okay, wonderful. And I asked her, so because things are happening, you no longer hear what you heard before. By the time we finished, he said, because she actually came with someone else to visit us, he said, I thank God that I came to see you today. I'm going to say the same thing to my husband so he can hear. Praise the Lord. In that particular situation you are in, God will reveal his glory in your life in Jesus' name. Open with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings 13. We are going to read verse 14 to 17. It's a story some of us may be familiar with, but I will just summarize it. 2 Kings 13, verse 14 to 17. Please listen to this very well. The Bible says, "Now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died." Do we understand this? It's twisted English. This was the sickness that killed Elisha. That's what he said. The last sickness that Elisha had that killed him. Okay? "And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bows and arrows. And he took unto him bows and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon the bow. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Praise the Lord." Do we understand where we are going here? What was the situation of Elisha? Elisha was sick unto death. At that time, Elisha was what? Sick unto death. That was the illness that finally killed him. Yet, in his distress, in his sickness, what happened? The king of Israel ran to him. And when the king of Israel ran to him, because there was war, Elisha said, "Come, bring bow and arrow." He brought bow and arrow. I don't know how he struggled, but somehow he got up. He said, "Open the window." How many of us have ever shot an arrow before? I have. You know? So, as he was going to shoot the arrow, the man of God came and held his hand, because he himself couldn't shoot the arrow. So, he had the king to shoot it. All that he needed to do was to put his hand so that the anointing could be transferred for that moment. And the anointing was transferred. And as soon as he shot the arrow, he said, "You have had victory." And were they victorious? They were victorious. But Elisha could have said, "I'm a dying man. Why did you come to me?" That's why when I see people who say they have retired from following the Lord, I just laugh. Because the Bible says the gift and the calling of God, they are without repentance. Till you get to your grave, you will serve the Lord. When people say, "I'm retired," I just laugh. He said, "Come, shoot the arrow. Let me put my hand there." He shot the arrow. The man of God, he couldn't do it, but he used the strength of the king of Israel to do it. Irrespective of your circumstance, never go back in serving the Lord. It cannot be worse than it was for Elisha. On his deathbed, yet people came to him. Look, let me tell you something. When God has invested in your life well enough, even if you are dying, people will want something from you. Praise the Lord. You will be so important to your society. You will be so important to the world that even when you are dying, people want to touch you. That will be your story in Jesus' name. Even when he was dying, there were a lot of people who were healthy and alive all over Israel. The king didn't run to them. He ran to this man because he was a man who was carrying a double portion of the anointing. When the glory of God is upon your life, one of the hallmarks of knowing that the glory of God is upon your life is that you cease to think of yourself alone. Whether it is raining, whether the sun is shining, it doesn't matter what is happening, you will be doing what God is asking you to do, because you have ceased to exist for yourself anymore. You have grown bigger than yourself. The Lord will make you bigger than yourself in Jesus' name. You are not fulfilling your destiny yet when you are still constrained and reduced to yourself. You know, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. Fourthly, product of divine assignment will be executed to the full. That is, everything about a divine assignment will come to pass. The goal will be achieved fully because they are based on the promise and the covenant of God. They are not based on circumstances. You get hold of what God wants you to do. You get hold of that goal that God has given your family. That's why I'm telling you, look, including your secular work, include everything you do, commit it into the hand of God, plunge it into the kingdom. Make it, look, tie the name of God to it. Make it a divine assignment. See yourself as fulfilling God's role in it and use it as a vehicle where God can touch people's life and see what God will do with it. Because every divine assignment is fully completed because they are based on covenant and not based on circumstances. Let me quickly show you something here. It is on record that Elijah performed 16 miracles. Out of these 16, 7 of them are considered major miracles. Praise the Lord. Who did I say performed those miracles? Elijah, not Elisha. You know what? Elisha, on his part, is said to have performed 32 miracles in his lifetime. In all, he both minor and major, 32 miracles. And he performed how many major miracles? Do we know? Praise the Lord. How many out of the 16 miracles that Elijah performed, 7 were considered major? Did I say that? 7 were considered major. So how many major miracles do you think Elisha will have performed? Praise the Lord. Why? Okay. So how did he perform it? The last one. Do you know that the 14th major miracle that Elisha performed, he performed it after his death because it was based on a covenant? In other words, when you are living and you are working on divine assignment, time is irrelevant. God will fulfill his counsel towards you. Even in his death, he raised the dead. Can you hear that? Can the dead raise the dead? Only those on divine assignment. Because God has promised him the double portion of the anointing, it had to be complete. God will complete his promises for your life in Jesus' name. You can find that in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. You know the story very well. The Moabites were coming to attack the Israelites. And these people were going to bury a young man. In their panic, in those days, they used to, by the side of the mountain, that's where they scoop. That's where they have tombs. That's why they could roll stones over it in Israel. So in their panic, they quickly threw the body of this young man into the tomb of Elisha. And the young man just untied the clothes of death that was holding him down and walked home. And I'm sure they will have doubled their running. First they were running from the mob, but now a dead man was chasing them because the dead man had risen. God will fulfill his counsel in your life in Jesus' name. I've shown us examples of people before. Daniel was in captivity just like anyone else, but he took the mantle of leadership. Nehemiah too was in captivity. Esther, you know, irrespective of your circumstance, God will fulfill that which he has said he will do. Divine assignment leave a legacy of righteousness. You know, the legacy of Elisha outlived him. That's why in death, he raised the dead. David left a legacy. Jesus left a legacy. That's why you and I are in him. What legacy are you going to leave? Remember Saul. Please, somebody quickly open to Samuel 26, verse 21. 1 Samuel 26, 21. You know what Saul was saying there? Samuel 26, 21. Maybe I will quickly read it. It says, Saul was the one speaking, and he said something like this. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thy sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. That was King Saul. He said he had played the fool and erred exceedingly. Now, quickly look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. You know the story there. Samuel asked Saul to wait for him, not to perform the sacrifice. Saul said, look, because he saw the Philistine coming, or was it the Amalekites? He quickly, no, the Philistine, I think, performed the, you know, the sacrifice. And Samuel said, what did you do? Now, the story, the lesson I want us to take home is this. The fall of a man is usually not sudden. There are usually little things that happen, and it's like they don't matter. That one doesn't matter. You know, that one is really not serious. That one doesn't matter until the fall will be complete. Saul knew he was not supposed to do it. And when Samuel came, he said, today, God said today, he was going to confirm your family to rule forever. He said, but because of what you have done, the Lord has repented. You know? It leads me to the next point. That is, divine assignment have to be executed according to instructions, according to the word of God, if we are going to prosper from it. Before I had it in my note here to share with us what I call the anatomy of boundary violation. Many of us may not understand. The doctors will understand boundary violation. The anatomy of boundary violation. How doctors used to get into the trap of having relationship with their patients. And when I looked at it, I found out that it explained a lot of things also. How pedophiles operate. You know, a lot of sin that we fall into. How it works. It starts with little things. Little things. As if they don't matter. If we don't obey fully, you will think it doesn't matter. And you will actually move away from where God wants you to be. You will not move away in Jesus' name. Anything leading you to violate the word of God is not in line with your divine assignment. Saul did. You will not do it in Jesus' name. Product of divine assignment, it's sweet smelling, and it's of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Look at the difference between Cain and Abel, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. One was able to call fire to come down. One was not, the other group were not able to. So as we close, just open Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 7. That is the word I'm going to leave with you today as we go. The book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 7. The products of divine assignment. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this was after they have crossed Jordan in obedience to God. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. He said, from this day onward, I will begin to magnify you. You will be a reflection of my glory, so that people will know that I'm the God in your life. And I'm saying to you today that from henceforth, the Lord will begin to magnify your lives, that the world will see and know that indeed this is the God you serve. That is what happens when you are under divine assignment and you carry it out. It will be your portion in Jesus' name. Please, can we just rise on our feet as we quickly have our hope. May I never fail you. Before the whole world, magnify me. May I never fail you. And before the whole world, magnify me. Before the whole wide world, magnify me. God said to Joshua, he said, and from today, this very day, I will begin. Your magnification begins from today in Jesus' name. Say, Father, from today, begin to magnify me before the world. Begin to magnify me before people around me. Begin to magnify me in the presence of people around me. From today, can we have the element, please? So Joshua, and he said, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel. From today, the Lord will begin to magnify you in the sight of all people. Please just eat your bread. Eat the bread and hold on to the wine, please. From today, your magnification has started. From today, your promotion has started. From today, your upliftment has started. From today, your victory has started. From today, your healing has started. From today, your breakthrough has started. From today, your favor has started. From today, your mercy has started. From today, your strength has started. From today, your vision has started. From today, your victory has started. Your praises have started. Oh, in the midst of people, right before their very eyes, the Lord has chosen to do you good. From today, in Jesus' name. Start to pray to the Lord. Say, from today, begin a new thing in my life. Begin a new thing in my life. Begin a new thing. Begin something unique in my life. Something I never thought was possible. Because divine assignment will always be completed. Time is immaterial. What God has ordained that he will do in your life, he is going to do it. Nothing can stop him. No one can stop him. No one can change it. Truly, he will do what he said he will do. Of a surety, he will do it. Your victory will not pass you by. Your miracle will never pass you by. The Lord has chosen to have mercy on you. The Lord has chosen to bless you today. Right from today, begin to walk in that victory. That is your portion. The enemy cannot take your lot from you. You will stand firm. From today, you will leap from victory to victory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Oh yes, we are people on a mission. We are people ordained to carry out an assignment for you. Therefore, everyone that is under the sound of my voice today, you are leaping from glory to glory in Jesus' name. You are leaping from victory to victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Oh, thank you for doing your people good today. Testimony will come. I want to tell you something. Please don't keep this testimony to yourself. You must share it with the people of God, because from today, report will start to come in. Report of victory will start to come into your life. You must be ready to share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Okay? Praise the Lord. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Can we drink in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Why don't you just speak to the Lord? Because like I told you, today marks the beginning of something great in your life. Today marks the beginning of your victory. Today marks the beginning of the expression of the glory of God upon your life, all the days of your life. Oh yes, from today, the Lord will begin to magnify you before people. Where people have thought you didn't count before, today they will reckon with you. Right from today. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. For indeed you are good. For indeed you are God. Thank you, even as you have sent me, so have I delivered it to your people. In Jesus.